This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth with your host, Diane Helbig. Diane is a leading small business development and leadership coach, author, and speaker who is passionate about sharing valuable ideas, tips, and techniques with business professionals worldwide. Diane brings you the world's experts and gurus in all things business, whether it's sales, structure, social media, planning, or plateauing, guests bring their expertise and energy to each episode. When growing your business is your focus, Accelerate Your Business Growth is the show to listen to. Got a topic or guest suggestion? Let Diane know. The goal is to make sure you have the information you need to move your business forward. Thanks for joining us. Settle in and enjoy.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. Today's podcast is sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/businessgrowth. Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast continues to enjoy inclusion on lists of the best podcasts to listen to, and that is something we are tremendously proud of. We continue to gain recognition as a great resource for small business owners, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and really business leaders in general. This is really because of the guests who join me. These are folks who have expertise in a variety of business areas, and they give their time and their knowledge to have a conversation with me so that all of you can get the information you need and are looking for so you can do better things in your business. Today, my guest is Mike Mooney. It would be easy to say that Mike's career has been going in circles for the last 25 years in the motorsports industry. Mike has built a reputation for creating brand, athlete, and sports property distinction by launching and leading award-winning marketing and communications campaigns. Mike has represented many highly regarded brands such as Mercedes-Benz, 3M, Tylenol, Walmart, Eli Lilly, and Fifth Third Bank. He's also recognized for his work in crisis and reputation management, having led dozens of crisis recovery efforts over his career. Mike now uses his extensive public relations, reputation management, and leadership experiences as a speaker to educate, train, and coach leaders, entrepreneurs, and business owners to proactively shift the way they value, manage, and build their brands and reputations. His book, Reputation Shift, 5 High Performance Truths for Success, delivers practical and ready-to-use personal branding and reputation-building strategies for people who want to ensure personal and professional success. Thanks so much for joining me today, Mike.
Hey, Diane, thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I am thrilled to have you here. We're going to be talking today about reputation management, and it is a critically important topic that I am not sure enough people pay attention to until like maybe they're in some sort of a crisis.
So my
first question is actually, I'm curious about why you decided to write a book about reputation management.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to children.
Race cars.
Right? Which is great, having the racing guy on your show with Accelerating Business, right? I love the tie in that. So to your question, Diane, you know, why did I write it? Well, you know, after 25 years of doing this type of work for some great brands and athletes, and mainly having to come in after the fact, and that work was always after the damage was done. I've been a student of this for years, and I'd always like to dissect not only the crisis situations that I was involved in, but others that you see or read about in the papers, in the headlines. And there always seemed to be a point in time, Diane, where, you know, somebody could have done something differently, whether it was a different choice, whether it was realigning with their values, whatever it might have been, but we could have been proactive. And that was the whole purpose. You know, I started looking at how could we be more proactive? And then quite honestly, it revolves around the question of how much is your reputation worth? Because gosh, we pay a dear price for it after the damage is done.
Okay, so that's a good point. So how would you say reputations are typically being handled today, in today's market?
Yeah, today, you know, we see a lot of SEO, search engine optimization.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's where people typically go when they're focusing on, we can help you manage your reputation. It's a great strategy. Don't get me wrong. It's a great strategy. But it's like trying to bury the cat turd further down in the litter box, right? You're trying to get the news off of page one on the Google search, right? Because we know 90% of people won't go to page two. But it really is just it's a digital strategy trying to handle an analog problem. And guess what? You know, we're the analog problem. It's the people. So, you know, that's where we see the focus. But really, where I'm coming from and my mission and message is really around as people, right? As leaders.
Yeah.
What are we doing to address the issue at hand? Because if you don't, and you keep relying on SEO, it's going to be like the game of whack-a-mole, right? It's just going to keep popping up, and you're going to keep dealing with it.
So that sounds to me like what you're saying is people are addressing a symptom, but not the disease.
Yeah. Yeah. So well put.
No.
And that's the challenge, right, is that there, in my opinion on this, Diane, and from what I've seen over the years, is that there's a fundamental shift in empowerment between asking the question, what if, right? What if is all about being proactive? What if is about looking at where are the areas of risk within my business, my team, my product, my industry, and how do I approach that in a way that I could actually design, plan, and create protection and distinction versus the what now? What now is, look, the fire's already started. And for business owners, that means put everything on hold, pull people off the jobs at hand because we've got to put this fire out. And guess what? Besides your reputation losing, so does your business.
Well, because it's so much more expensive to fix something than it is to prepare for it ahead of time.
Right. Right.
But
challenge is, and this isn't making light of the priorities and you know, where business owners are, and it doesn't matter if you're running a Fortune 50 company or you're a small business owner, the focus and priority is generally around how do I get the product to market in a way that's efficient, that's going to, you know, allow me to keep my margins in place, keep people employed and deliver the service that I promised. Where does reputation fit into the sales and the business building strategy?
Right.
It's not.
Oh, I see.
You know, I was listening to a CEO probably about a month and a half ago. It was interesting. We had this conversation about building team and building reputation for his organization. And he said, you know, I believe it's important, but what keeps me up at 3 a.m. is I've got a choice. I can either make my company better, strengthen its reputation, or make next quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to imagine that's where a lot of business owners are today, but they aren't mutually exclusive. We can do the same. And in fact, the research will show that if you do build your reputation, if you do build out on that brand, that guess what? You are going to grow your business. You will make next quarter and the quarter after that and the quarter after that.
So I'm listening to that and I'm thinking it's about prioritizing and maybe juggling more than one thing at the same time. Because it feels to me like this whole reputation management thing actually happens in concert with the other, you know, getting the product out on time, and that it's right. That it's not an either or.
Mm-hmm.
And so leaders need to figure out how to give it energy at the same time they're giving other things energy.
Well, they do, absolutely. And I believe that, you know, when you talk to a lot of business owners today, you can ask them, so where's the foundation, right? Where is what's your business centered around? And generally speaking, it's not going to be around, you know, solely the product. You've got your product or service offering, but generally around that are your values, right? What does your company stand for? Because quite honestly, you know, you so many things have been commoditized these days. It really is about the company's individuals, right? The leadership.
Yeah.
When they say 50% of a company's values tied to its CEO's reputation, that says a lot. And we see that in publicly traded companies too. When the new C-level executive comes in, you see their stock going up or down based on their reputation. So
right.
I would actually put forth the thought that yes, reputation management can work and should work in concert with your general business practice, but it should be centered right around with your values. And that's where I come from with my message in this, Diane, is around it's values-based. In my book, I was never really a math person. I'm a communication and marketing guy, right? So somewhat ironic that I kind of built out this little equation in the book, but it's really simple around reputation, is that your values drive your decisions. Your decisions then drive your behavior. Your consistent behavior over time is what becomes your reputation. So values plus decisions plus behavior over time equals reputation. So the idea is get back to the values. Don't deviate.
Yeah.
Don't deviate. And therefore, it doesn't become extra work. It's just living into and doing what it is that you believe in, that makes you unique and different and strong and makes you who you are.
That's really great. I totally get that. That makes so much sense to me. And it becomes an easier, streamlined thing to do because you're staying with the main focus of your company. Like I always say to people, before you make a decision, before words come out of your mouth, ask yourself the question, is this serving my business? Is this serving the goal, right? And if the answer is no, don't do it.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the idea that we're not trying to create more work. Oh my gosh, I've got to build out a whole reputation plan. Well, no, you've just got to make sure that you're living into the values consistently.
Right.
And more importantly, beyond yourself, how about the people who work with you, who are on your team? Here's, you know, when I started out that this was like 12 years ago when the seed was sort of planted and I was thinking about, you know, writing a book and developing this program. But it was really at a time when, this was in 2006, Facebook was 6 months old. There was no Twitter. You know, everything was on message boards and forums. And I realized that for organizations and brands, that the landscape was radically shifting because of technology. More for the company, it was no longer a monologue of just talking at consumers. Now they're talking to each other in an amplified way. But as social media has really begun to, you know, penetrate and you know, become part of our everyday lives, the reality is that no, we are those brands and that the reputation of the business is really built upon the reputation of the people who work there day in and day out. So I'd also, you know, I bring that up because it's so important for leaders and business owners to recognize that it's not just what they're doing, it's ensuring that the people on their teams are also living into the values and strengthening and protecting the reputation of the organization.
Yeah, boy, I'm so glad that you said that. I think that is so important, and it gets back to making sure that they know what the values are of the organization, right? That they, and that that's a constant, that they, and that everyone in the leadership is living those values. Because sometimes, that, you know, a company will come up with a mission and a values proposition and whatever, but then the way that they act towards their employees or toward their vendors or whoever doesn't quite map. And so then the people who work with them aren't, they're getting mixed messages. They don't really know what, where they're supposed to be. And so they end up behaving in a way that is not necessarily in keeping with the stated values.
Right. Right. And you know what's even worse that comes out of that, Diane, is then, have you ever had this happen? I know I have, where somebody would say, hey, would you work with that agency? Or what do you think of the group there? Well, you know, I would say, well, I've had a bad experience. I might say, well, the organization is good, but man, I'll tell you, you know, that guy, Mike, not someone that I'd want to work with.
Yeah.
So that, so there's also then this halo effect that, that really people need to be more mindful of that, you know, especially the owners, seeing that the people on the front lines are really the stewards of the reputation. You know, it's, I love that you brought up the living the values part of this, because I really believe that we see this a lot in the corporate world, where people have those great little cards that go on the end of their little, you know, RFID chips that get them from room to room, and it sits on their belt loop, you know, and mm-hmm. have these values on there. But that's usually as far as it goes in many cases. Like you said, there's a disconnect sometimes, you know? And I often ask business owners to say, you know, have you taken the time to look at your values here on the wall and then ask your employees to literally sit down and write out and map out where those values connect with their day-to-day roles and responsibilities? How is the opportunity to live it out? Because I think that's the connection point that we often miss. It looks great on the wall, looks great on the website or our social media channels, but I just don't get how it really connects to me and my everyday role and responsibility.
And then it doesn't, if that is not apparent, chances are it is not happening with the clients and the customers either.
Absolutely.
And they know it.
Yes.
And to think that they don't is really dangerous, because right? The employees and the customers see everything, and they see where there's that disconnect, and where, you know, that you're saying one thing, but you're doing something else. And, yes. So I would imagine that that is a, and I'll ask you the question, is that a difficult reputation crisis or negative reputation? Is it difficult to get past that, to fix it?
Well, it's a yes and no, or yes and yes. It depends on how it's approached, quite honestly. You know, where I see, where most people see the challenges in the in this, Diane, I look at opportunity. And I really think that perspective is paramount when it comes to A, being proactive, and B, managing reputation. So if you're in a situation where you're a business owner and it comes to light that one of your employees has done something in a way that one of your clients is either leaving, expressing concern, distrust, whatever it is, there is a huge opportunity there, if handled properly and immediately, right? That there is zero substitute for speed in those situations, because what we tend to do is we leave it off to the side and hope that it takes care of itself. Well,
Right.
Nothing grows in a vacuum other than speculation and rumor and distrust. Yeah. So as the owner, this is where you have to take that deep breath and say, okay, let's sit down and assess what happened. Now, what are the steps that we're going to take to remedy that? You know, was somebody living outside of the values, and we'll address it internally? Was it something where there was a miscommunication with the client? Well, then let's have that conversation openly. Bring them in face to face. Let's talk about this. But you can't let that go more than 3 or 4 days.
That's so interesting. And I'm so glad that you brought it up. As you were talking about it, I was thinking about an experience I had with an organization I was involved with where they made a decision. So it's a membership organization. So, you know, supposedly it's all about the members.
Right.
Well, they made a decision that they were going to change a process, and they were not going to use some members for a project that they had repeatedly in the past, which is fine. I mean, that was not a big deal. Right. However, they made the decision consciously to not reach out to those people to explain what was happening and the reasons why. They decided they were going to wait and see and just deal with it if and when those members reached out to them to ask what was going on.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. How'd that work out?
No, not so well.
Well, I am shocked and amazed. Let me pick myself up off the floor, Diane. I can't believe it.
Yeah. And we tried to tell them, this is not a very good idea, but their path, I mean, this is, it's so interesting that we're talking about this because their belief was that they would only have to deal with the people who really questioned it. They didn't realize that the whole bunch of people weren't going to ask them the question, but were going to be annoyed and pissed off. And that supposedly their values were, you know, working for the members, and they didn't realize that this wasn't taking them there. That this was the exact opposite of that.
Right, right.
Well, and this goes on every day.
Oh, it does. It does. And here's the reality. I mean, we see it in the headlines every day. And that's where I try to really make the point where, you know, we are living in this perfect storm right now, Diane, where we have and we're seeing sort of the good news and bad news in the work that I do, right, is that we're seeing every day in the headlines that this gap in values and leadership.
Yeah.
That's living out in real time for us at the highest levels. And we're not just talking about people who are losing their jobs, but we're talking about the legacy. We're talking about their families. We're talking about even the companies for which they work going under, and now people who had nothing to do with it are losing their jobs, right? So you got this,
right.
this gap in leadership and values, and then you've got this world of the citizen journalist where we all have cameras and recording devices on us all the time. I mean, at no other time have reputations been as fragile as they are today. You know, and the irony is this. So you think about the example you just gave, and I call this the search and destroy model, where I ask, you know, where do people go to search and find information on people today or organizations?
Yeah, the internet.
Internet, right? All over the internet.
Yeah.
Where do you think they go when they're ticked off and frustrated and had a bad experience? It's the same place.
Yeah.
And you don't think somebody's going at some point write something about that or vent or, you know, that point is, if we're seeing it at the highest levels of business, we know it's happening. And
right.
We just know it is. But the challenge is, you know, having these owners and leaders take the time to slow down, take a breath, be present, and really think through, how do I need to address this? Now, like I said earlier, if it's aligned with their values, then certainly you can address it, but you have to get on it fast. There's just no time, because then these stories start picking up a life of their own. And by that point, now you're chasing the message, you're chasing the story, you're on your heels, you can no longer be proactive and demonstrate true concern, and more importantly,
right,
a plan of how you're going to make this better.
Yeah, boy, I mean, you're just telegraphing that the reason you're addressing it is because you got caught, not because you really, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. You know, mm-hmm. And here's the thing. If you think about statistically in business these days, how difficult, how much time, effort, energy, and resources put into business development, right? And there's that whole language, it's easier to keep a client than find one. Well, 65% of all new business comes through referrals. Well, referrals are what, 100% based on your reputation, plain and simple.
Right.
Plain and simple. You want to drive more business, drive your reputation. Simple.
Yeah, boy. That is, it's so funny, isn't it, that we spend all of our time and energy in this one place because that's what, you know, keeps us viable, and we don't connect the dots to all of the things that impact that.
Right.
And that make it easier or harder to achieve.
And make it hard on ourselves, right?
Yeah.
But again, you know, look, this isn't like an accusation by any stretch, Diane, because I was listening on one of your earlier podcasts where one of your guests talked about, hey, you know, in business planning, is the difference between running your business and planning and building the business, right? And it doesn't make people right or wrong. It's just where their focus is. So it's no different with this conversation around reputation and their brand. You know, owners are looking at the bottom line. They're trying to make their numbers. That's totally fine. But that can't be the sole focus of how you're building your business. It just, you know, as you look even down the line of your employees, you know, I read a statistic a little while back that basically said that 85% of employees would leave their current job if offered a job by a company with a better reputation. So I'd ask you, like, close your eyes for a second and imagine 85% of your workforce walking out the door tomorrow because of something that you could have proactively fixed on your own and kept them there.
Wow, that is stunning.
Yeah. So, I mean, people might think reputation is a soft skill. It's a nice to have. I would really argue in today's world, in this, what I'll call the reputation economy, that no, it's a mandatory. It's an absolute mandatory.
I agree. I am completely with you on that. And interesting, it's so interesting that I think one of the things that I am hearing you say that I'm hoping other people are hearing you say is that reputation has to be part of your strategy. It has to be part of your business development, you know, energy and focus. It has to be part of every aspect of your business because it so directly impacts every aspect of your success or failure.
Without a doubt. I'll throw one more stat at you, Diane, that again, was really opened my eyes on this. It was a study done, I think it was about a year ago, so still very relevant in terms of business. But basically, it was saying that 87% of executives rate reputational risk as one of the most important strategic risks to their business. 87%. Yet, how many do you think actually did anything about it?
I don't know.
15%.
Oh.
15%. So, you know, that to me demonstrates a couple of things. One, they recognize the importance and priority. That also recognizes, though, that with only 15% of executives actually acting on it, one, it's a questionable, where do I start and how do I do it?
Right.
And then there's the more uncomfortable question of, oh man, look what I found. What do I do now?
Right.
Right. I've got enough going on right now that I have to worry about this now. Right. But I'd offer a flip on that and say, how could a business owner take this as an opportunity to create distinction and more importantly, build protection around their
business? Yeah.
Look, in 25 years of doing this type of work in motorsports where things happen quickly, and we're not just talking about like business bankruptcy or you know, poor sponsorship programs. I'm talking having dealt with driver deaths, fan fatalities, where things are happening in real time, where, you know, it's never a question of if, it's really only a matter of when. So the really, really only ask are, you know, am I prepared and what's my reputation worth?
Okay, I want to take a quick sponsor break. Wait, I have to write myself a note. Because I have so many questions for you.
So. Awesome. We'll jump onto them on the other side of the sponsor break. That's great.
Awesome. Thank you. Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our link, which is audibletrial.com/businessgrowth, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. Some examples of books you can listen to on audible.com are Reputation Shift by our guest, Mike, and The Irresistible Consultant's Guide to Winning Clients by David A. Fields. So visit audibletrial.com/businessgrowth. Explore the books that are of interest to you and receive one free audiobook when you sign up for the trial. Today, we're speaking with Mike Mooney about reputation management. And Mike, before we went on the sponsor break, you were talking about being proactive, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And a thought that was going through my head was that there are two different kinds of proactive. There's being proactive with preparing what you will do in the event of a crisis.
Right.
And then there's proactive, which is making sure that everything is aligning, every decision and everything you're doing internally is aligning with your values.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So how does a company or the leaders of a company make sure that, I don't know really how to ask this question, but like that they have values that are, I want to say authentic and genuine, that they're not just saying, oh, this sounds good. Right. But that these are really their values, and they are good core solid values that they can build from.
Right. Now, that's a great question to ask, and it's a lot to sort of unpack in that mm-hmm. because the word authenticity is what jumped out at me there. A lot of times, you see people go on Google mission statements, and they'll go on and find a good one and insert their company name, into Google or Apple's or, some other companies because it sounds really good. When I'm working with business owners and leaders and we talk about values, it really is one of those conversations that it's like, okay, let's sit down and get into this and roll the sleeves up because we've got to get into a place that is authentically you.
Yeah.
Okay, and especially if you're the owner of the organization, right? It really is about you, then the product and the business, because you created this. This is your vision, right? So it's really about, is it authentic in your space, right? And then will those values deliver value, to your employees and your customers? That's always sort of been like my kind of key backs to that question of having authentic values. Will they deliver value? Will they make life better, easier? Will people be inspired because of the values that we have and we're living out? Whether they're people who work on my team or they're the customers who are investing their dollars in my product. So that would be
a great litmus test.
Yeah. Because what it does is it really starts sparking conversation and you start looking at your values maybe in some different ways. And I'm not saying that you look at your values in a transactional manner, but it really is relational. It really is about, what are we doing to live into what we truly believe is authentically us. And in that conversation, you may find that there's some other values you hadn't even really thought about because you're thinking about true connection of how it's being lived out. So that would be one area that I would say would be important. And then the other is what we discussed earlier, quite honestly, is then taking your team with those values and saying, how do I apply that to all the aspects of my day-to-day job, my interactions with my colleagues, with my customers, with my vendors, right? Where, and literally, this isn't like a think about it. I'm saying, like, seriously, sit down and write. Look through your day. Look through those activities. Where am I living these out? Where do I have the opportunity to live this out?
Yeah. So
I just think, that kind of connects the dots in my mind. I try to think, keep things simple, but if you take it from the centerpiece of you and then how it lived out, I think then you have a better chance of being consistent in what people see, hear, and feel.
I love that. I mean, I think it's really great. I do think, and you said something before about if you uncover something and the uh-oh, and so it really takes someone who is willing to be vulnerable in that space, mm-hmm. who really wants to see where it's working and where it isn't working, and can be honest and as you said, realize that's an opportunity, right?
Talk some
more about this opportunity, because I think I want people to really hear that, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be an awful thing.
No, you know, so I would start that thought off with one of my favorite quotes. Happens to be by Confucius. All right, you ready for this one?
I am.
And it's basically, the quote is, there are three things you can't hide from: the moon, the sun, and the truth.
I love that.
At some point, Diane, the truth is going to come out. So I'm speaking now from a place of somebody saying, yeah, you know, I just uncovered something. It's kind of nasty. It's kind of gnarly. No one's really going to know about this. So let's just kind of hope it goes away. All right. It's not going to matter. Well, look, I think we've seen enough of the examples in the news. you even pointed one out, you know, with that member association. It's going to come out. The truth will come out. So here's that opportunity to live into another word that I think is really important, and there's actually strength in it. It's called vulnerability.
Yeah.
And a lot of leaders, owners, people who are in positions of making things happen, don't like that word because it could signal weakness. I believe there's a lot of strength in that word vulnerability. So where can you find opportunity and risk, or opportunity in places where there have been mistakes? Looking at, I'll give you an example, right? Back in 2007, 8, 9, if you worked in the home mortgage business, right? You didn't necessarily have to work for Countrywide Mortgage to have stink on you because you work
right.
in that, right? So I'm going to give you an example of where I take some business owners through an exercise where I ask them to look at the risk within their industries. What are people saying about your industry? Let's take a look at that larger picture. And if you can list 3, 4, 5, 6 things out that aren't positive, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's customer service, maybe it's time to market, maybe it's, you know, product innovation. Okay, great. Now we know what people are frustrated with. How do we take the risk of association of those key points and build them into new business opportunities? How do we improve customer service? How do we set the industry standard now? How do we take the risk and create, I call it sort of like our Tylenol moment. Remember back in the 80s when people were unfortunately died from the cyanide poisoning, right?
But
that was going to be the end of Johnson & Johnson and Tylenol. But instead, they, in amazing time, turned this around and created an industry standard of tamper-resistant packaging and bottling, something we'd never seen before. But now it's
the
same. And through that, they not only recovered, so they lost hundreds of millions of dollars in that situation, but they regained the market share and again became the industry leader. So where is your Tylenol moment as a company looking at your industry? And be proactive in owning it, or maybe it's not yours to own, but recognizing there's an issue. You don't necessarily have to have the issue to suddenly now build out a program or a system or a strategy that addresses it, that can make you different, make you stronger, more differentiated.
That is terrific.
I'm going to hop off that little soapbox. I can go on.
But this is exactly, because I got to tell you something. You're talking about that, and I'm thinking about Wells Fargo. And I'm thinking, okay, so they have this massively horrible value statement that they are living with, you know, which is cheating and screwing with their customers. And what happens is a whole bunch of employees lose their jobs. The big guys either don't lose their job or get huge payoff for they should be in jail. Now I'm on my soapbox. But then instead of looking at it and going, okay, we better take a look at our entire house and make sure we don't have any other mold growing, they don't. They just try and say they're sorry and move on from there. And then all of a sudden, a couple years later, they have another problem because their value system was flawed, totally and completely flawed. And they didn't look at it and say, we have to fix this. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. We have to do what you said. We have to look at what is the experience of this? Are we living this thing? Yep. And now they're trying to make up for it, which I'm not convinced they're going to be able to do.
Well, they may. And I think over time they can. If, see, like, here's the difference. If they were to come out and say, These are the four areas, and I'm making it up four areas. These are the four areas where we fail internally. As a result, here are the specific points and the areas that we're going to now, you know, integrate new systems, new checkpoints, new backups, whatever it might be. The people who are responsible for that are no longer part of the organization. And you're right, it smells bad when they're paid off out the back door. But it takes time and consistency. Like, it's one thing, I mean, you hear the radio commercials, especially here in Charlotte, where it's about, you know, we're starting over, you know, we're that's a great start.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more in the space of, and here's what we're doing. Oh, and by the way, here's an update on how that's going. Like, keep that conversation current on your social media channels, on your website. Create a checklist, for crying out loud. You know, there was a good example of this with Baylor University when they had their Title IX sexual harassment lawsuits a few years back, where they had more than, I want to say it was like 90 different cases that were going on and issues. They had an independent group come in and do a study to see where the breakdown occurred. And they then put on their website an update on, here's where the problem was, here's what our remedy is, and here's where we stand right now. Very transparent.
Yeah.
And again, that's where you're going to gain people's trust back again. Being transparent, time, and consistency. No other way.
Right. Right.
No other way. Can't do
right.
it. And you know, for a company like Wells, they can weather that storm financially. I don't know how that works on Main Street for a lot of these small companies, especially when, you know, within a year of a negative reputation crisis coming to light, most companies lose about a third of their revenue.
Wow.
Yeah, either directly or indirectly. Directly through customers leaving and going elsewhere, indirectly because of reviews or comments or, you know, other information where people won't even step foot in your door or click on your website. So the impact is real. The impact
is
real. So, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your audience to, you know, perhaps shift their mindset around how they're managing one of their greatest assets.
Yeah, and I am so glad to have you here for this because I agree with you. I think, you know, these companies that have deep pockets, they can, they're either in an industry that there isn't a ton of competition, or they can just wait it out. You know, they can help people forget about it, whatever it is. But on Main Street, you know, small businesses, it is harder to overcome something that is really damaging to your reputation. I've seen it here. I'm in the Cleveland area, and there was a woman who said something on social media she should not have said, and then her response to it was not great, and she's gone. She's just no longer. I mean, you cannot if you think about it, this is really, and you said this before, this is people interacting with people. And humans are forgiving when they believe that you are sincere.
Absolutely.
And right? And so it really is about first setting your company up for success as much as possible by being willing to look at all of the corners and all of the, you know, monsters live in the dark. So shining a light on everything that you've got going on and setting a culture in place that is really in keeping with your values, and then being prepared for something that could come out of the blue or for something going on in your industry that is not your company, but as you said, your guilt by association.
Right, right. You know, Diane, what I love, I just heard you say one of the little nuggets in there, and it's so important, especially in crisis management today, is own it. If something went down, own it. Like you said, people will forgive you if you're sincere and honest and recognize what happened. You know, there was an age when the idea of deny, 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 remember? I mean, there was a time when that worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
No longer. With social media today, like I said, I mean, the truth is going to come out. So own it. And people will absolutely, absolutely respect that. More importantly, because we see it not that often these days. It's so far in between. I mean, think of, it's an older example, but, you know, Lance Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
And the impact that had, not only on him as an athlete and the brand himself, there's a great quote that he had, because within, I think, like 72 hours of the Oprah Winfrey show, where he came clean and said, yes, I was doping, yes, I was lying, all those things. All of his corporate sponsors left him. And his quote was, that was a $75 million day.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm not shedding any tears for Lance at all. But what really upsets me about that example and why I bring it up, and this kind of gets back to the impact beyond the individual, is that he was the face of this amazing organization. The Yellow Bands, the Livestrong Foundation, right? He was an inspiration, a beacon of hope to people who needed inspiration and hope in the face of a life-ending disease.
Right.
And what happened? What did he do to those people? Absolutely let down. Absolutely let down for the years of lying. And as a result, that organization lost millions of dollars annually. Annually, and their funding and their support in an area where it was desperately needed, right? So, could he play that differently? Absolutely. Should he have?
Yes.
Absolutely. But we have the luxury right now of Monday morning quarterbacking that whole scenario, right? But this is where it gets back. I'm going to circle back around to values. Where was Lance's values during all that? Would it be value more, the titles, or his position within the cancer community, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I would just also encourage your listeners to think about what they stand for as not only owners, but in their communities, in their business communities, in their industries, because the actions and the words, the things we say, the things we do go beyond just our personal selves. It will impact your business. It will impact your industry. Right? So I'm not trying to, you know, sometimes folks think, oh my gosh, that's so aspirational. That's so, I can't get my head around that sometimes of having to live that out. But if you sit down and really ground yourself, take small steps, you can do it. I see plenty of good examples out there. You know,
there's plenty. And I love that example. And I keep thinking about, you have to make the decision, what legacy do you want to leave?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Because he had a legacy with Livestrong, and it was great, and now it is something different.
Yeah.
And so we really do and realize that we are responsible for that, and we get to make the decisions about how people are going to remember us, which then translates to how they're going to remember our company, our product, our employees, our whatever, you know, fill in the blank. They're all connected to each other. It's such a great example.
Well, you know, it's one that often jumps out to me because of the impact it has beyond the individual, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm a big believer that your reputation speaks for you when you aren't there to speak for yourself.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What is it saying? Do you know what it's saying? That's the other part of it. Sometimes leaders don't know what their reputation is.
Yeah.
Or they think they know, or, you know, there's an old saying, you start believing your own PR. You know, you got to be careful and really think about, so what is it? What do people see? How can I get better? Where are those blind spots? You know, again, we're all human.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all human.
Well, my gosh. So I have so enjoyed this conversation.
Right.
And I really... Tell the listeners how they can get their book and how they can get your book, because I think they all need it, and how they can find you and all that great stuff, please.
Awesome. So first off, thank you for having me on. This has been a great conversation. I've truly, truly enjoyed it. So you can get my book at my website, which is mikemooney.com, M-O-O-N-E-Y. You can get it on Amazon as well. And you can find me on LinkedIn. You can email me at mike@mikemooney.com. I love emailing and connecting with people there as well. And I'm on social media. So please, I'd love to connect.
Terrific. Oh, gosh. Thank you. And listeners, you know, I'm thanking you, but I'm also going to say, let's all make a commitment to ourselves in this month of gratitude that we are going to really take a look at this and take a look at our own businesses and our lives and how we're motoring in the world, and make sure that we are leaving the reputation that we want to be leaving. And I also want to thank our sponsor, who I'm pretty sure has a pretty good reputation out there, and that's audible.com. If you would like to get a free trial and a free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/businessgrowth to sign up for that trial. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.